Thanks for listening to The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac, on demand, brought to you by SEL Mortgage, the leaders in Colorado of special circumstance lending, helping everyone, including people with unusual financing needs. Locally owned and operated. Visit MySpecialMortgage.com. That's MySpecialMortgage.com.
104.3 The Fan presents Big Al and D-Mac with the big story of the day.
We want to thank our friends from Ted's Montana Grill for picking the crew. I have some crab cakes that just taste absolutely delicious. Just had a small little bite.
I have that pecan trout.
Oh my goodness, that sounds great.
It is great.
We got, I have the St. Phillips Island crab cakes.
Those are good.
Because the St. Thomas Island crab cakes blow, but the St. Phillips Island crab cakes are incredible. Alfred has the pecan-crusted trout. Big Sexy's rocking the Swiss and mushroom bison burger.
Delicious.
Kyle's got the Strawberry Man's got the Red Rock chicken sandwich.
Oh, that thing is good.
8 Denver, Boulder area locations. Ted'sMontanaGrill.com to find the closest location to you. Ted's Tuesday with Big Al and D-Mac, presented by Ted's Montana Grill. Have dinner on them tonight. Every Ted's Tuesday at 3:45, 4:45, and 5:45. So we give away a $50 Ted's gift card. Oh, stick around. Takes me back to my music radio days, my shock jock days. We used to give stuff away. Now we have contests where you win nothing.
What is that?
I know. I got to silence my phone here. I always forget, like, I put it on quiet, and then I do the show, and then I never take it off silence and creates all sorts of issues, Alfred. All sorts of issues. We have all sorts of issues going on here in Denver Bronco lands, don't we?
There are issues, but not all kinds of issues.
I mean, there's
issues everywhere. There's issues with every team.
You think the Rams are having issues?
Yeah, they have two receivers that are out. So
they got some issues.
They have issues, too.
Aqib Talib's down for them, yes.
Yeah, they have issues. True. Everybody has to work through their issues.
I didn't know we had a... do you have the audio of Michael Spencer talking to Brandon Marshall? Oh, you're putting it on there? Okay. I didn't know about that. I got something else. I got the... Nikki in theathletic.com wrote about VJ talking to the players at a... I'm trying to keep track of all the meetings they had. Because apparently there was a meeting with the entire team. And VJ said, hey, anybody got some ideas here? And then there was the, I guess, players-only defensive meeting. And then there was VJ meeting with the defense. And apparently at all these meetings, Bradley Roby wasn't there. Here's Brandon Marshall talking with Michael Spencer on CBS4 about the players-only meeting.
How does it feel? How's the team feeling on a day after?
You know what? We all had a players-only meeting as far as, like, the defense goes. You know, defense, we met together, and we talked some things out. And, we even had a team meeting where Vance, wanted our feedback as well, on what's going on and what we need. So, you know what? I think we still have time to turn this thing around, and I'm glad we're having these meetings and this communication right now because we all don't want to feel the same things we felt last year.
What can you tell us about what you guys said in that team meeting?
Well, I can't tell you anything.
Okay, either. I had to ask, though.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, well, what does that say, though? I mean, because obviously you guys went through a rough patch last year.
Yeah.
So when you have that type of communication, I mean, that tells me that, hey, you guys aren't going to stand for this.
No, and we can't. You know, last year, after the bye, we lost 7 games in a row. You know, it was like 2 months where we didn't win a game. You know, that's crazy. So we've lost 3 in a row, and the buck has to stop somewhere. It has to stop somewhere. You know, we thought it was a very winnable game in New York, and we just didn't come out to play, man. We've never been rushed on like that, ever. You know, 300 yards rushing?
326.
Never happened since I've been here. So it's very frustrating, man. So, you know, we have to come together collectively. We have to change something. We have to change something.
Thank you to Channel 4 for that audio. Mike Kliss tweets out, Bradley Roby was sick yesterday. He saw trainers late in the day, was not present for meetings. It does appear he should have communicated better with his coaches. So, just to recap, you had a day in which VJ spoke to the entire team, in which, according to Nikki's article in The Athletic, he solicited opinions from the team about what can I do to coach you better?
It is a collaboration.
He came in, this is according to Will Parks, quote, he came in and said, if anybody wants to talk or say something that will help us coach you guys and to help you guys play better, let me know. And a couple guys said things and everybody needed to hear. Another guy said things that was from his perspective. But as a team, you can take things a certain way. So I think we got a lot accomplished today. So not only did he say, hey, what can I do? Guys stood up and said something. Then you had a players-only meeting with the defense. And it all happened without Bradley Roby being there. Because he was sick. Al, you've spoken about this a million times, about being sick and missing work in terms of being in the NFL. I set it all up for you. What's your take on all this stuff?
My take is that if you're sick in the NFL, the best place for you, believe it or not, is at practice. Because at practice, they will have doctors that will come to you. And that has been the case in the NFL since I was a part of it and long before I was a part of it. You have orthopedic surgeons that come in. You have optometrists that come in. You have general docs that come in. And all of these guys are fantastic. And they work hard to make sure that the players are in the best physical condition that they have. They also have a staff there to wash your clothes. They have a staff to take care of your food needs. They have a staff there to take care of all of your weight training and your conditioning. So there is nothing that they can't handle that's physically demanding. So if there was a problem with anything, it's the only problem is you didn't go to work. And I've only seen it one time in my entire NFL career. One time. Where a player didn't go to work, because everybody knows that's where you're going to get the best medical attention that you can have.
So do you believe that Bradley Roby was sick?
Do I believe that Bradley Roby was sick? No. I'm going to say no based on all the things that I've just told you.
Mm-hmm.
Because maybe he was disgruntled. Maybe he was angry. Maybe he was upset. But too sick to go to work? You know, but you told me he did go to work later.
Yes.
Okay, but he went to work. He couldn't come earlier to tell everybody he's not feeling well, because there is a certain meeting time where everybody has to appear.
Well, think about what happened yesterday. There's this big team meeting where VJ is asking everybody, what can we do to coach you better? And players are getting up and offering suggestions, according to Will Parks. And then there's a defensive-only meeting where they're having some come-to-Jesus moments. And the person that had the worst game, I mean, I don't know how you say he didn't, but at least it was a very poor game, was Bradley Roby. He's not even there. Wow. I mean, that's kind of stunning, isn't it?
Well, to me, it just shows the immaturity of a guy that I've had a lot of respect for and thought the world of before this incident, because that doesn't sound like the kid that I got a chance to meet 5 years ago at the draft, where, you know, he said that he was going to make sure everything was buttoned up and tight for this community of football for drafting him in the first round. Sounded like he was very respectful and heady about all the issues that were going down before the NFL draft and just wanted a clean slate. He got it. But after this, I don't know what you do. I don't know how you can give a guy a clean slate for missing a day of work in the NFL. I'm just letting you know, it only happened one time in my entire NFL career where a guy just ghosted practice.
Reading from an article on, now we got to remember how we acquired Bradley Roby, right? He fell in the draft, correct?
Right.
Right. So here's an article from April 24th, 2014. Okay? From NFL.com. Former Ohio State cornerback Bradley Roby was cited Sunday for allegedly operating a vehicle while under the influence, according to a report from WBNS-TV in Columbus. Court documents obtained by the TV station show the incident with Roby occurred April 20th and has a court date set for Friday. Al, this was the incident that made him fall, correct?
That was the incident that took a guy that should have been a top 10 pick and, you know, dropped him in the NFL draft.
Right.
But Bradley Roby was not involved in any DUIs or drinking in events or anything. I don't want to get that twisted. That's not what I'm saying.
I'm pointing out that he has had a pattern of
not really.
Well, he had
because
an incident.
You had your pre-NFL evaluation, and then you have your NFL evaluation.
Okay.
This NFL evaluation is based on, first of all, everything in the NFL. This is the new rule, and this is the new rule in the NFL. The first thing you can never do in the NFL going forward is that you can never hit your spouse, no matter what. That's the new rule in the NFL. If you never want to play another snap in the NFL, hit your spouse and you will get your wish. You will never play another down. Start with that. Number two is that your film evaluation is your most important piece of your resume. Okay? And that will tell you what you will make this year and for years going forward. And then third is how the coaches feel about you, because there's only 32 teams, and all 32 of these coaches that are head coaches have relationships that filter down to each one of the teams. So word gets around quick about the team that you have and the players that you have. So now the evaluation goes to what did you do after those things that I just talked about. And okay, if it's anything that's derogatory, DMAC, that does not have to do with any of the on-the-field evaluation or the coach's evaluation, that could be the most damaging part, because nobody knows the mindset of the guy who is the loose cannon.
So if you don't, and you said you don't really believe he was really sick.
Not too sick to go to work.
Not too sick to go to work.
Or if he did, I mean, was he in the ER?
Did he?
There have been some incidents where Raheem Moore almost lost
his leg.
Yeah, guys have had to go to the emergency room.
Yes, Raheem Moore was very, very serious.
You know, the one thing that the NFL is very diligent about is take your position coach number down, and if you're going to be late, if you happen to miss any portions of a meeting, call and tell them. Because if you do nothing, you're going to get fined no matter what. If you show up late, you're going to get fined, period. Okay, that's the way it works. But if you are not present at work, it's like an all-points bulletin. It is.
Like, you might be catastrophic.
It could be
failure, something
so,
like that.
It is.
You could have been in an accident and been on the side of the road in a ditch or something.
It could have been that. You know,
it's
you were involved in some criminal activity that took you away from normal activity.
Henderson got in a horrible car wreck, before camp. I mean, things have happened.
Guaranteed his coach knew about it within 2 or 3 hours.
But you're insinuating, more or less,
that if you go no show, man, everybody's in a panic. Everybody is in a panic.
Okay.
The entire organization is in a panic.
Because it's that unusual.
Oh, man.
And can you imagine having these meetings? Everybody's looking around. Where's Bradley?
And you know what?
According to what I'm hearing, nobody knew where he was. It's not like he told anybody. He didn't tell. It sounds like.
Sounds like he was upset and just didn't want to be there. We have to have changes. Changes are necessary in this league. Changes are necessary in this league.
For whatever the reason was, there's no reason that's acceptable, correct?
Oh, no, not in this league. Maybe in baseball, you know, that day off where you're supposed to go in for treatment, you don't show up for treatment. That's different. But this is like, you only get 16 stinking opportunities to play football. I mean, 16 stinking opportunities to play a regular season game.
You got 53 guys on the team. You got 10 guys on practice squad. You got coach. You got 100 people.
When I say
100 people showing up on
time. I'm telling you, it is almost one of the, you know, it's like, okay, that guy doesn't want to be here. Let's get his ass out of here. It's that bad. I'm telling you, when that happens, it's that bad. Now, you know, the coach may come out with coach speak and, hey, you know, he was under the weather. And I can't wait to hear Vance Joseph talk about this one. You know, these are the things that I would never call my friend and ask him about because these are the things that I just want to learn from, you know, from radio interviews like everybody else.
Why?
Because I don't want to be burdened by having the real information of why he missed. I don't want that. I don't want to hold on to that information. I'm not good at keeping secrets like that. That's why I don't call them my friends that are part of the NFL during the football season, because I don't want that burden of having all that information.
But obviously there's some sort of issue beyond he just had the sniffles. There's something else.
I don't know
on.
What happened, but I'll just tell you this. If there was something that was physically ailing him, the best place for him to get seen is at the facility.
Okay. Now, and he wasn't there.
Now, if you can't drive to the facility, they'll send somebody to come get you.
Yeah, I just got to make a phone call, right?
Oh, we got Uber, by the way.
Right. That Uber's,
I mean, we got Uber.
Uber
I mean,
works great, doesn't it?
You get Uber to work if you can't drive.
Sure, you make $8.5 million a year. You could probably throw down that $30 to get to work.
No, you got Uber on in.
How much does he make? It's like $8.5 million.
Man, hey, listen, D-Man.
It's a lot.
I consider what we do.
Now, he's the reason Aqib Talib's not here anymore, right?
Yeah, that's right. I consider what we do important work. And there are several times that in the course of a year where I may be without a vehicle. I mean, it just happened, 2 weeks ago, and I
right.
called you, and I said,
"That's right,
D-Mac, man, you know, my kid took my car. I don't have a car." I said, "Can you come get me?" I was like, "Oh, you know, no, D-Mac didn't pick up."
Yeah, I'm sorry.
How did I get to work?
How did you get to work?
I Ubered. Ubered right on in.
I feel bad about that now. But
I
yes,
just Ubered right on in.
I would have been happy to give
I
you
I just
ride.
Love coming to work. I love coming to work, but I wasn't going to let the issue of me not having a car be the reason
how
that I was going to be.
How did quick that Uber show up?
Oh, it's in 9 minutes.
Not bad, huh?
Not bad.
You get to work on time?
Oh, 10 minutes early because I didn't know what was going to happen. So, I mean, that's what happens when you are responsible to the people that you work with. And the job that you do.
The respect you have for the job.
That's right.
And your coworkers. And Bradley Roby really shattered that respect.
Oh, man, that's a big one.
You cut anybody slack because they're young?
Hell no. No, not in this business. Did you cut Carlos Henderson any slack?
No.
Nope. So I'm sorry. It's just, no, not in this business. No.
Nope. So what should happen now?
You know, first of all, he's going to the bench, not for anything other than his play. For nothing other than his play, he's got to go to the bench.
He might have gone to the bench no matter what.
Got to go to the bench no matter what. But because he didn't show up in a timely manner, then you have to consider further penalties.
Should the Broncos suspend him for a game, something like that?
He's not going to be with them next year, so yes, I'd do it. If I was a GM, I would do it. If I was John Elway, I would do it because certainly I'm not re-signing him next year.
What about we're playing the Rams? They have an unbelievable aerial attack.
So what?
So what?
So what?
It's more important to teach a lesson than to win a game?
No, it's important that we have principles.
Does Bradley Roby even help you win a game at this point?
I don't know what's going on with Roby, man. I told you he was one of my favorite guys to watch play. And this year, I don't know what's going wrong. I don't know what happened. But certainly, you could have worked it. You can work technique things out. You can work on your mental stability. But when you don't show up, man, in this league, when you don't show up, listen, man, certainly I've had terrible games. I've had games where I was like going, put my hand in the dirt. I mean, put my head in the dirt. Call me Ostrich Al. I mean, put your head right into the dirt because I screwed that one up. Most of it happened when I was young. But by the time I was in my fifth year in this league, which he is,
mm-hmm. Yep.
By the time I was in my fifth year and I knew what this league was about, I was all about that business, boss. I was about it. I was about it.
You were in San Francisco.
I was about it.
You had moved on from Cincinnati.
Hey, man, listen, man. I was about it. I just wanted to be I just want to be the best player that I can be. And
you turned down money to chase a championship.
Yeah, I did. I did because there's nothing like losing, man. And when you lose in this league, it changes your perspective on life. There's nothing like losing in this league. First of all, you're going to get hit no matter what. Whether you like it or not, when you play in the NFL, you will get hit.
So you put this on John Elway, by the way, not Vance Joseph.
Oh, this is a GM. This is a head coach deal.
GM or head coach?
Both. Both. I mean, it starts with the GM. This is a GM's job right here. This is right here.
This sends, by the GM's action,
not
a message.
In my house. Not in my house.
Right. So if
John Elway, after all the bad games that he had in his lifetime, just didn't show up for work?
I would be surprised. I would say no.
A coach's son?
It would surprise me.
You think Peyton Manning, after the bad games that he's had, just didn't show up for work?
No. It would shock me.
You know, you think Von Miller just wouldn't show up for work?
I think Von had some interesting times in his first couple years.
Did he not show up for work?
It would not surprise me in his first two or three years in the league, though. But since he got through those moments, I agree.
I can't see it, man. I just can't see it.
I mean, there was a time in Von's life where he was like filming The Hangover 4. I mean, it was kind of crazy. But he settled down. But again, to your point, this is Bradley Roby's fifth year. It's not in the NFL terms. That's not young.
Young is
maybe 2-3 years. Maybe
the average life of an NFL player is 3.4 years.
Right, 5's a savvy vet. Right. I mean, you're a Super Bowl champion. You're a first-round draft pick. You've been given a significant job. They believed in you. Look how many guys never got that fifth-year option from the Broncos who were first-round draft picks. Sylvester Williams didn't get it. Paxton Lynch certainly didn't get it.
I'm ready, man. I'm ready for...
Shane Ray's not going to get it.
I'm ready for...
But Bradley Roby did get it.
Yeah, because we all think highly... Or at least the Bronco country thought highly of this guy and thought it was just the next progression in his long-tenured NFL career here in Denver. Now, after this, I can't say whether or not – I don't think the guy's going to be here. I treat him like he's not going to be here next year. That's how I would treat him right now.
The problem is the depth of cornerback.
I don't care.
You don't care.
I don't care. I would treat him like he's not going to – I would treat him the same way I treated Marquette King.
Would you play a safety at corner if you had to?
Absolutely.
If you had to.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Are you kidding me? We got to get some things right, and that one is one of those must we have to get right. We got to come to work. We just got to come to work. I mean,
you sound disappointed.
For that guy, you know, I've only been disappointed in twice in my life with former players. With guys that are playing the game as a former player. I was really upset with Von Miller when he got suspended. I was really upset with Von. I was really upset with Von Miller because of how highly I thought of him as a player and as a person. So I thought it was irresponsible for him to be suspended. And certainly he's made up for that in this community tenfold. You know, he's worked on being the best player that he can be, and he's given tremendous effort consistently throughout his NFL career. But this thing with Bradley Roby only marks the second time where I've had, like, high expectations for great players. Like, when I consider these guys, I guess I only get mad at the guys that I know can be great. Vaughn turned it around. And yeah, for that, man, we are all very happy around here as Denver Bronco fans. Super Bowl 50 MVP. I always knew it. I was a guy on draft day saying, take Von Miller. He's by far the best football player in that draft class.
You were saying it before then. For months.
I said it when he won the Buckus Award. As a former Buckus Award winner, seeing this guy win that award, I was like, you know, that guy is a unique player. I went back and watched film on him in college. He was Derek Thomas-like. He even wears number 58. So when I tell you that I have these high expectations for Bradley Roby, they were in the same vein. This is disappointing for me because I hold him to a different standard.
And John needs to act on it.
It's got to be a John Elway deal.
Okay.
I don't care if you're light at cornerback. What would happen? I'm gonna put it this way.
Mm-hmm.
What would happen if this was Bill Belichick?
Oh, it's. I can't imagine. He would be suspended immediately. I would think, if not worse. He may be cut. Bill Belichick. He may be cut.
Okay.
Right? Do you agree?
I'll take a break on that.
All right. Big Three's next.
Sandy Clef here to tell you about SCL Mortgage Special Circumstance Lending, locally owned and operated. And if you're self-employed or work on commission, this is the place for you. Bank statement loans are back. You don't need tax returns to do your loan. In some cases, the bank statement loans can be done with credit scores in the low 600s. MySpecialMortgage.com on the web. 303-790-2222. The phone number, SCL Mortgage, licensed by the Colorado Department of Regulatory Agencies, number 1200716.
It's Big Al and D-Mac with the Big Three, presented by Sam's Number 3 Diner and Bar.
So it's come out that Bradley Roby missed a portion of practice yesterday, a significant portion, a portion where there were a big team meeting, where grievances were aired, a defensive players only meeting, and accountability was questioned and thrown out there, and he wasn't there. And you could arguably say he had the worst day of anybody on a defense that had a historically bad day for the Broncos. So, Alfred, what is the correct consequence of Bradley Roby's irresponsibility from yesterday?
The consequence should be that he is, at the bare minimum, he sat down because he doesn't have confidence at playing the cornerback position.
Is that sat down meaning benched or suspended?
Benched.
Not suspended.
I'm talking about from his play.
Okay, but not suspended?
But not showing up for work, that's a whole separate deal.
All right, so what's the right consequence then?
There should be a suspension, period.
How does that work? Can you suspend
conduct
it?
Detrimental to the team.
Okay.
That's all it is.
You lose a paycheck because of that?
Of course.
So on an $8.5 million contract, what are we talking about? A lot of money. And you think that's the way it should go? A suspension without pay?
The way I look at it, man,
That's what you would do.
I mean, if I was a GM, that would be... That's where we would be heading today.
Mm-hmm.
Unless this guy had this illness that prevented him from texting, from calling.
What illness would that be?
I don't know.
Bongos.
Three! There's a host of guys that were part of Bradley Roby's NFL draft that are coming up on year 5. Guys like Ziggy Ansah, Brandon Graham. How about this one right here? This class at safety. Bradley Roby was with Earl Thomas, Landon Collins, and Marcus Joyner, Tyrann Mathieu, Clinton Dix.
Mm-hmm.
And at cornerbacks, Bradley Roby was mentioned along with Ronald Darby as guys that would be leading the free agent market. How much money did Bradley Roby lose in the last 48 hours?
Maybe millions. Who's going to take a chance on him? What do you think?
I put the number next year, a 1 year, $6 million prove it deal. He may have lost as much as $40 million in guarantees.
Wow. Deep breath, bongos.
Three.
DeMarcus Ware, Al, on InstaFace was posting a video of a damaged finger. He injured his finger while on Dancing with the Stars. I'm playing you the video, and it's bent out of shape. Like, it's his pointer finger, and the finger is pointed in the wrong direction. Gross. But I guess I'm pointing this out to say, this is our pass rush coach? Al, what is this? It's not like the Broncos have been getting to the quarterback.
This is the biggest mistake I told you.
You've got 3 first-round draft picks that play this particular position. You've invested the most money in Von Miller. And we're looking at DeMarcus Ware, who's in great shape, with a bent finger from dancing. Vance talked about making changes. Should this be a change and you move on from DeMarcus Ware and you hire a coach who's committed to the team?
I don't even know why we're having this conversation. I mean, I don't understand. DeMarcus Ware is not a coach on this team. But who's coaching them? Who's coaching the outside linebackers?
Big mistake. Continues to be a big mistake.
Oh, man, look. I talked about this back in the spring after we took Bradley Chubb at number 5. We have 3 first-round outside linebackers and nobody who's played the position or no real coach of record coaching them?
Yeah, we have 3 tight ends and we have Jeep Christ. He's their coach. We have 3 tight ends. And they have their own coach, but we don't have a coach for outside linebackers.
None of which were a first-round pick.
Boggs.
3!
Congratulations, first of all, to Drew Brees.
Come on now. Yeah.
Drew Brees, man.
How special was that last night?
All-time leader in NFL passing yards. Is this a significant award?
Yeah. It's a big deal.
If anybody needs me, I'll be taking another nap.
Now, let me ask you this. In terms of
I do have Peyton's.
Real numbers.
Yeah.
Is this equivalent to the home run mark in baseball?
No.
Not that significant, huh?
The home run. No, I think touchdown passes would be like the home run mark.
Oh, I don't think so. I don't think they've ever celebrated anything like, I mean, they celebrated like they were really in New Orleans last night with Drew Brees.
Well, I don't know.
That wasn't what happened when Peyton Manning broke the record.
Oh, it's a pretty big deal when Peyton broke the record.
Yeah, they stopped. They act like, you know, they were
do you remember
running
when Peyton,
around.
It happened in a horrible circumstance. Do you remember? Peyton broke the record in the Kansas City Chiefs game where he was absolutely terrible. And he broke it early and then in the he broke it while they were trying to move the ball like on a 6-yard completion or something. I mean, Peyton broke the record in, like, the worst possible circumstance you could do to break the record.
He was trying to rush up to the line, trying to go no huddle.
Right.
Trying not to stop the game, and they stopped the game for him.
Yeah, right. It was really awkward. Drew Brees broke it because he threw a touchdown pass. I mean, a long touchdown pass. It's pretty cool.
I don't know if while I was playing in the NFL, did I ever really think about any record that on the offensive side that was more important than the all-time rushing record, which Emmitt Smith holds proudly.
Well, where were the all-time sacks record?
200, man. 200 by Bruce Smith.
Deal, right?
201. I think it's 201 or 200. 200 by Bruce Smith. I think Reggie White has 199.
Here is Peyton Manning with his congratulatory message, which was filmed over at Dove Valley, by the way.
Hey, FYI, Drew Brees just broke your record.
Which one?
All-time passing yards.
Passing yards?
He's chopping tomatoes.
So I still have the touchdown record, right?
He's actually on pace to break that, too.
What? Great. Drew, for 1,000 days, I've held the record for all-time passing yards in the NFL. And I got to tell you, it's been the greatest 1,000 days of my life. And thanks to you, that's over now. And you've ruined that for me. So thank you very much. I have nothing left to look forward to except slicing my tomatoes, making dinner for my family, putting together this wedge salad. Also, let this serve as a congratulations for the touchdown record, because as you can see, I'm very busy. I don't have time to keep doing these videos for you, congratulating you. But in all seriousness, Drew, congratulations on this record. You've done it the right way. All your hard work and dedication have paid off. You and I have come a long way since this picture back in 2000 when you were in college and I was in my 3rd year in the NFL. So, way to go. Proud of you. Good luck the rest of the way.
Well, you showed a picture of that moment.
Right.
Very cool moment. By the way, people may have recognized that video and what Peyton was wearing because it was the same exact time that he filmed the hype-up video for the Rockies in their final game against Milwaukee. If you missed that,
tell me that guy's not planning everything in advance.
he was checking some boxes.
While I'm doing this one, right. Let me do this one for that one also.
So, nice, classy moment.
Peyton's great, man.
Peyton is great.
Showmanship.
Yeah, that's when we used to have a quarterback. Okay, speaking of the Rockies, let's put a bow on it. Patrick Saunders tells us what's next for the Rockies. Next.
3.
It's The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac. On Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
Patrick Saunders The Denver Post Rockies beat writer is with us, presented by Rox Heating and Air, ROX, Rox Heating and Air. Patrick, it was so good to see you at one of my few journeys into the press room at Coors Field. But I like going there for sure. And spending some time and just chatting about the season and what we expected. But I didn't expect that. How surprised were you with the ultimate complete failure in offense by the Colorado Rockies in their series against the Brewers?
I was very surprised, D-Mac. Disappointed, too. I understood the it was a tolling road to get there after going to L.A. and the Chicago and everything. But I really thought winning that game in Chicago was really going to boost this team. And I knew that the Brewers had an incredible bullpen, and I knew they knew how to use it. But I was really surprised that the Rockies were not able to do anything against the Brewers' starting pitchers, Wade Miley or Yelich Chacin. Big disappointment. I thought they'd come home. No way. I thought they'd have to get shut out and get four hits and shut out the final two games of the series. I knew that the offense was a weakness all year, roller coaster year, but I didn't think it would end like that. I really didn't.
Patrick, I have to ask you about something that happened during that game that has mystified me, and D-Mac called it a Little League era. Scott Oberg, with the balk.
Right.
What in the world was I looking at?
It was, Scott said after the game, I mean, it was just a one in a million goof. He simply dropped the ball when he had his foot on the rubber. Mm. I mean, I don't know what.
But has he ever tossed it up in his hand like that in a game before? I mean, I've seen so many different occasions where after that game where all these baseball experts say that that is never okay and he could be called for the balk there. I've also seen baseball analysts say that he can't kick the rubber five times before he takes his stance.
I don't know what else to say, Alfred, other than it was a really bonehead move at a bad time.
Have you ever seen him do that before?
I have not. I've never seen that ball call in a big league game before, and I'm sure it must have happened through the years. I'd never seen it myself. It was a dumb mistake. I don't know if you can go beyond just saying that.
Yeah, that's why I called it. I shouldn't even say Little League because you can't balk in Little League. There's no leads, but maybe freshman baseball. I don't know. Something absurd. It's
he looked
funny.
Like he was at the softball game.
Well, maybe he was pitching to Kratz, who was like a softball player, who was the catcher, who was the all-star of that particular game. I'm reading the back and forth with you and Kiz in the Denver Post, Patrick, and one thing that you point out, because the big story, obviously, for the Rockies offseason is going to be Nolan Arenado and what exactly you do with them. And you point out, you were reminded in 2008 when Matt Holliday was traded a year before his deal expired because they just didn't think they would be able to keep him. And they got Carlos Gonzalez, Houston Street, and Greg Smith.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty good deal.
It was.
So what then with Nolan?
Well, here's my thinking, guys. As good as Matt Holliday was back then, and he was certainly reaching his prime, and Scott Boras was his agent, and everybody had a pretty good feeling that they were not going to reach a deal with Matt. And I don't remember the exact numbers the Rockies offered Matt, but it became clear it wasn't going to happen. My thinking is this. As good as a player as Matt Holliday was and still is to a certain extent, he isn't or was not a once-in-a-generation cornerstone player like Nolan Arenado is. I'm of the belief that it's a very rare person that you come across who's going to be a gold glove third baseman perennial. He'll probably win his sixth consecutive this year, I would guess, and somebody who hits for pretty good average and power. I mean, he led the league in home runs this year despite having a pretty bad September. To me, Matt Holliday and Nolan Arenado are different cases. Matt Holliday was a star. He was beloved, but I don't think – I think getting Cargo in the long run was every bit as good for this franchise probably as Holliday was. But I don't think unless you pull off some super deal you're going to find much of a trade out there that's going to give you what Nolan Arenado does. But here's the problem. If Nolan, and I don't know this, if Nolan in his heart simply doesn't really want to make his whole career here in Colorado, or even 4 or 5 years more, well, then what do you do? Do you let him just walk at the end of next year and hope you go out with a bang? Do you wait and see what happens during the course of the season? And if things don't go well, then you trade him at the deadline and don't get as much for him in July as you would in the off season. There's a lot of stuff going on here.
And so does that mean Jeff Bridich needs to go out and have just a heart-to-heart with him? Just say, hey,
for
no.
Sure.
When does that happen? Do you give it a couple of weeks? Or how much time do you give this process?
Well, what Nolan told me after the game on Sunday was he didn't even want to really think about this for another month or so. He wants to get away from it. He told me that there have been no contract negotiations yet. But my guess is, yes, they've got to sit down and have a heart-to-heart.
Yeah.
And knowing Nolan, you know, I know everybody cares about money. I'm not going to say Nolan doesn't care about money.
Mm-hmm.
But Nolan's also told me, you know what, he's going to make more than he's ever going to need.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Nolan knows he wants to play for a winner. And I think, and this is just my guess, guys, I don't know this. I think Nolan's heart's still in Southern California.
Yeah.
I just feel that way.
Yep.
But I think that, yes, he's going to have to have a heart-to-heart with Bridich, and they're going to have to come to to some truth as to what Nolan wants for his future. But more than that, how much are the Rockies willing to invest in one player? Because we're not talking about the Dodgers or the Yankees or the Red Sox here. We're talking about the Colorado Rockies. So, you know, there's a lot to be considered here. And that's why when I had my back and forth with kids today in our online column, I suggested, this is just my suggestion, you know, don't go out and try to get him for 8 years or 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, why not 5 years with an opt-out in the last year or something where it doesn't bankrupt the team? And then he's still a young enough player toward the end. If he wants to finish up somewhere else, he has that option, but he's still a wealthy man.
Yes.
I have no idea if that'll fly, but that's my... that's my suggestion.
Well, he's in a unique situation because
he's 27 now, so at 32, that's not an old person in baseball.
Depending on how much money he wants to settle for, which will be a lot no matter what, every single team in Major League Baseball would sign Nolan Arenado. Every single one.
Sure.
And so if he really wanted to go back to Southern California and play for Anaheim, which makes the most logical sense, right?
Yeah.
There's nothing that stops him from doing that. So, you know, if... he doesn't owe anybody anything, okay, but it sure would be nice if he offered Jeff Bridich, you know, a clear direction. And if he just told Jeff Bridich, if it came down, you know, later, Nolan just wanted to go to Southern California. He's always dreamed of playing in his hometown or home area. It makes perfect sense. He wanted to go to an American League team, not a National League team that would compete directly with the Rockies when we're trying to make it work. If that's the case, then I would hold no grudge against anybody. But if it just becomes some sort of ridiculous bidding war, then I'm going to have an issue with that.
Well, and here's the thing, guys. We don't know how much it's going to be. You know, I've seen people saying Machado and Bryce Harper, their free agents this winter, are going to make as much as $300 million. I'm not buying that yet because I think last year showed that those really long-term deals are kind of going extinct now. I just don't know if teams are going to do that anymore. But I think from the Rockies' point of view, they certainly have to make some sort of good faith, valuable bid to keep Nolan here. Because if they simply don't make an effort.
Yeah, but Bridich could do that with the heart to heart. Bridich could come with the number written on a piece of paper and the heart to heart.
But you know, when you see those numbers for those 10-year contracts, like Albert Pujols is certainly past his prime. But when he signed a 10-year, $240 million deal, you know he still's got like 3 years left on that deal?
Yeah, but dude, there's nightmare deals out there like Ian Desmond and Chris Davis that are just like haunting their clubs. The Orioles and the Rockies are kind of stuck with that, right, Patrick?
Well, yeah, except the good thing about the Desmond deal is this was the highest paid year for him. So it goes down significantly after this. But yeah, you're right about that. I mean, you know, look at Giancarlo Stanton's contract, which of course got all jumbled up, and then he got traded from Miami to the Yankees. I mean, that was a huge deal. And, you know, in my opinion, I think Nolan's every bit as valuable to a team as Stanton is.
But
because he's an everyday make a difference fielder with power. To me, Nolan is going to be incredibly valuable. It's a quandary, guys, but it's the business of sports these days. We all know that.
Got to sell tickets.
And the future of the Rockies centers around this particular deal because it dictates everything else you do. So,
And here's the thing, guys. They're losing a big core of guys. These are most likely DJ, Ottavino, Cargo, probably Parra. Who knows? Holiday wasn't that big a piece of the puzzle, but he probably won't be back. And they're losing a lot of guys. Now you can say, well, they have a good starting pitching, probably the best in their franchise history, which is the backbone, and that's terrific. They have some good young prospects coming up. But they're prospects. None of them have proven themselves the way Nolan Arenado has.
All right, Patrick, we got to roll. Sorry to cut you short. Football at 4 is coming up next.